Turn to open session. The discussions and deliberations during the closed session were restricted to those stated in the motion, and no formal action was taken by the board in closed session. The next item on the agenda is the executive committee. You have action items 2.1 and 2.2. Any desire to move one of these action items from the consent agenda?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move action item 2.1, approval of athletic employment contract, to from the consent agenda to the action agenda.
So noted. Before you is item 2.1, which is the approval of new contract for the head football coach. This item came out of the committee. We'll accept any motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion for approval by Mr. Selkin, seconded by Regent Meyer. Discussion. Regent Meyer.
At last month's committee meetings, the executive committee sent this revised and far more lucrative contract forward for Coach Taggart. And at that time, I shared with the board that I had received many emails from faculty. And by this morning, that number has grown to around 75, which is a large number considering that the faculty have been off campus since the last time I saw you. To a person, everyone who wrote criticized the contract extension, and not one faculty member has written, called, or spoken to me in support of it. I shared about 25 of the longer emails with my fellow board members with all identifiers removed because I believed it important that you know what my colleagues were saying in their own voices and from their own philosophical perspectives. To briefly summarize their responses, the overwhelming concerns were about fundamental fairness and feelings of demoralization. So in the hopes of rectifying this and salvaging a bad morale situation, I present the following argument to you. This contract is the biggest merit raise in WKU history, and it revises the contract that already included merit and incentive clauses, many of which were, fortunately, because the program was doing better, going to execute this year for Mr. Taggart. In contrast, faculty and staff have not had a merit raise or a merit pool since 2007. There was a compression pool in 2008, which I negotiated with President Ransdell. I want that noted. Only small bonuses and small across-the-board raises have happened since then. And if the board passes this, there's no other alternative than to designate monies for merit pay for faculty who do the work upon which our state funding is based. If our funding formula, for now, we know it can change, is retention and graduation based, then WKU must make the academic mission and the faculty who execute it our priority. And sadly, what this current situation shows is the academic mission is not the most important or sometimes is a talking point at best. That is what people believe. That is what people feel because of this. So I ask my board colleagues to ponder the following. If faculty are not rewarded for merit-based performance, which is our equivalent of having a good season, then WKU cannot claim to be a leading American university because that is a distinction created only by a commitment to compensate the faculty whose work for too long has been underappreciated and underfunded. So one way to look at this is that the president and the board now have a great opportunity. We can show our commitment to the academic mission by funding faculty excellence. And I ask you to bear in mind the bad message this board sends if they approve this contract without making the same commitment to faculty excellence. Because if we don't fund the great performers, then we don't have a winning season, right? I hope that this board will look at this as a chance to reward our WKU faculty team for their excellent efforts in teaching, research, and service to the Commonwealth. And to remember that if my team decides they don't want to play, then with them goes our state funding, our external funding, and all the things that keep this game going. And I got to have a few stats for you. Faculty salaries at all ranks are below benchmark. Our faculty-student ratio is higher than it should be at 19 to 1, and as Provost Emsley has reported to the Senate, it's 35 to 1 if you look at tenure-line faculty-to-student ratio, which is frankly shocking. And I applaud his efforts to rectify that and Council of Deans' efforts to rectify that. But right now, this is why I'm worried about just keeping my team from up and leaving, or worse, just giving it up and saying, you know, we're just going to do bare minimum and nothing more. So today we have an opportunity to have a fruitful discussion, and I see it as an ongoing discussion over the next few months as we move through the budgeting process. But I ask that you do what we need to do to fund faculty salaries competitively, and to end on a final athletic metaphor, let's turn the season around. Thanks.
Thank you, Regent Minner. Any other region that would like to comment?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask the athletic director, if you would. I'm in favor of the contract, but I'm curious, have you, as an athletic director, and you talked to other athletic directors throughout the United States, I'd like to have your comments about why this is appropriate. It's consistent with the national. That's what I'm looking for.
No, thank you, Regent Zelke, for giving me the opportunity. You know, we know that it was a large increase from where Coach Taggart was when he was hired at 225 to now 475. When he was hired, he was, and up until last season, he was tied for the lowest salary among the 120 football coaches in 1A football. And at the time, it was a great hire. Coach Taggart, his name's on the stadium. He's part of the Harbaugh lineage. He's done a great job of turning around the culture of our football program. So as we went through the season, we knew we had to do something to maintain continuity with Coach Taggart. And so we were constantly monitoring the landscape of what's out there in college athletics. And unfortunately, we didn't create the market that exists in college athletics for salaries. We didn't, but we have to compete with that if we want to have a successful athletic program. So we looked at what's being paid in the conference, and when we took Coach Taggart up to 475, it took him up to fourth place in the conference. Since then, Arkansas State is now paying $800,000. They went from $200,000 to $800,000 to hire their football coach. Louisiana Lafayette is about ready to go from $360,000 to over $500,000. So Coach Taggart will go from fourth down to sixth or seventh within our conference, just in a matter of months, as the cycle continues. So our efforts to retain him, our efforts to provide continuity and stability for our football program was one of the main reasons to provide this contract to Coach Taggart. The funds are coming from athletic funds. We're not getting an increase in our university subsidy to cover this. We're creating those funds within athletics. We need to increase revenue. We need to sell more tickets. We need to pack our stadium. And that happens with a winning program, and that happens with great leadership in the football position. So we know salaries have gotten at a high level across the country, and there's coaches making $4 or $5 million. Is that the right thing to do compared to what we do in terms of providing an academic mission? No, we all get that. But the marketplace is driving this, and frankly, I've had people applaud me and us as a university to say, hey, I'm glad WKU stepped to the plate before we did lose Coach Taggart. That's been the feedback that I've gotten from our donors, our fans, and the constituents around the community. So hopefully that provided some context.
It does. Thank you, Ross. I think you did a fabulous job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Any further discussion? Put the question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No.
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 Motion carries. So noted, the no votes. Motion to approve the contract has been approved. Next, move to the other action item on the contract, 2.2, which is amendment to the bylaws. This was a consent item. Entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Motion made. Second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve action item 2.2, amendment to the bylaws. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion approved. The motion to approve the bylaws amendment passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is an information item from our internal auditor. in accordance with what the board has been looking at in this item. This is a work in progress. We've made, I think, some excellent strides in revamping our internal audit accountability. Irons, the floor is yours.
Thank you. As we just indicated, this is kind of a first new type of quarterly reporting to the board, and actually it's a six-month period on this particular one just to get us caught up. It covers from July 1st, 2011 till December 31st, 2011. And also, as indicated, we're trying to flesh out the formatting of this. And previous one, the one you got here very recently, and then previous ones have been more of a narrative nature, trying to put it maybe in a concise format. We'll see how that works out from y'all's feedback. I don't know how far to go with all this, but basically what this report will show, or what I hope to show, is basically it's going to be in four sections. The first section will cover prior period reviews that we've done that maybe issues were outstanding, so you'll get a resolution as how those items were handled. The next section would cover the items that were completed, the reviews that were completed in the current reporting period. The next section would be those items that were started in the current reporting period but are still ongoing. And then finally, the fourth section would be the future reviews we hope to look at, future items we hope to look at. Again, you can see it's kind of a grid format there. Each review or each activity will have our finding, recommendations, responses to those recommendations. Also, we try to give it a risk factor. Risk is a subjective thing, so we're still kind of trying to flesh that out some. The impact, as far as is there a financial impact, whether positive or negative, to the university. And then the period was, again, it's talking about the time period that this review went through. The particular review that's in that that we're talking about in each of the grid lines there. So I guess that's pretty much it. Did you want to go into more detail or?
I think there was three items we were going to discuss this morning. First item was the unresolved items, which represent page 1 of 4.
Yes, sir.
The board should know that the proposed resolution of that follow-up is to have, in the situation where the internal auditor has identified an area of correction, there's some issue about the resolution. If it's still pending, then the president will resolve that issue and report to the board on the resolution for our concurrence.
And that has been done?
Probably en route to
them. Yeah, you have. We addressed that this week, and those resolution campus communications are complete, and you all have copies of those.
Yeah, we don't. We don't have copies of the campus communications.
No, you do. They were just put in the mail yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
Obviously, the second part of the report on page 2 is those items that have been completed. Any member has a question?
Under the Center for Research and Development there, it shows that we've collected $87,000 in past due leases. How much remains uncollected at this point that are due?
Well, if you look over to the impact on that same, the impact is $159,000, and then, as you noted, $87,000 was collected. Now, some of that we will not be collecting. It was just rents that... For whatever reason, the entities are no longer there now, et cetera. So probably more likely we won't be collecting some of those items. Some of the items are in progress, actually. There were some issues with some of the tenants were supposed to be paying some insurance dollars, as well as some overhead issues and things like that, facilities. And actually, we're moving forward on those. So, of course, let's say I'm talking about the Center for Research and Development, but we identified these issues, and they're moving forward and making collections on them. And there's still some stuff in progress, actually, related to that. So.
And if I could add, all indications are that this will be resolved quite quickly. We don't see any problem with any of these rents and insurance payments being paid. It's just a question of working through it.
probably most important is the current items in progress, and to make the board aware of those items, and to let you know that in some communications, the first reaction was a lot of the assigned progress items are low risk, maybe weighted more towards low than the other areas, and I think the internal auditor is going to take a look at that weighting and make sure we have an appropriate sampling of all moderate and low areas going into the future.
As I understand what you're saying, and as I also indicated, the whole idea of risk is a subjective sort of ranking. So, but I understand what you're saying. And if you look onto the next page, the future period, there are a few in there that are moderate and thought I had a high one in there, but maybe not. But anyhow, I understand what you're saying.
Any other comments, questions, discussion?
This will be a regular quarterly report going forward.
Correct.
And based on the previous quarter.
Thank you. That concludes the executive. We now turn to finance and budget.